everybody. Welcome into First Take, and we begin with some breaking news. No, it's not that Keyshawn Johnson is filling in for Stephen A. Smith. What's up, Max? What's up, Key? I'm Molly Karam Rose.
Good
fellas, feeling. Houston, we have a problem. I've got more news coming out of Houston, and I can't wait to get your reaction. Star defensive end J.J. Watt, one time maybe considered the face of the league, is being released by the Texans. Max Kellerman, this on the heels of the GM stepping down, and then we have Deshaun Watson wanting to leave. What's your reaction to the latest?
Well, let me just say, first of all, J.J. Watt is one of the greatest players who ever lived, right? But I'm very curious at this moment to hear from Key, because Keyshawn Johnson, you're a person with a lot of experience in football, and I'm curious to know your point of view before I chime in.
Well, I would say this is not a bad day for the Houston Texans or J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt deserves to be given an opportunity to go to a winner, a perennial winner. Let's say, for instance, there's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer team out there that's looking for him, or a 49ers team, or a Seattle team, or a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, somewhere he can win and have an opportunity to be a champion. He's done everything else. I think when you hear the word released, the first thing people go, oh, my God, they released J.J. Watt, the greatest player in Texans history. It's not that bad. It really isn't. It's a good thing for him, and it's a good thing for the organization that wants to blow things up and start fresh, considering that they probably are not going to have their franchise quarterback underneath the center for the 2021 season. So I like it. I like the move. I think it helps. It gives J.J. Watt an opportunity to go be a champion somewhere without having to worry about if they can trade him, trade value, all of those different things. He's got a couple years of football left in him. Why keep him at that defensive end position in Houston when the Texans probably aren't going anywhere?
Now, that's why I wanted to hear it from you first, Key, because that's not my first impression. I don't think that's going to be most people's first impressions. That's inside football stuff. Like, don't make this out as though, oh, more dysfunction on the Texans. This is actually par for the course. They're probably going to do this anyway. But it just looks bad. The optics, as the kids say nowadays, are bad for the Texans, because if you have such beef with Deshaun Watson, who has a sterling reputation on and off the field of play as a winner, a champion, a leader, the face of a franchise, since college, right? He sprinkles his magic pixie dust everywhere, and everyone believes in themselves and they can win. The way he carries himself is the way you want your franchise quarterback to be. He's the envy of every team in the league, with the exception of maybe the Chiefs, who has a guy even better, right? When you poison the well to the point where this dude is saying, I want out no matter what, I'm not even going to return phone calls, you're not getting the benefit of the doubt. When something like this happens, people are going to say, oh, Andre Johnson says what he or says publicly what he said. People are looking at that. Whoa, J.J. Watt now is coming out. When he said, it's not simply like the news comes out. He tweets out directly. I want you to hear from me, everybody. The team released me. You know, that is shots fired by the greatest offensive player in their history in Andre Johnson and the greatest defensive player in their history, J.J. Watt. The signal that I am getting from everywhere, just stepping back as a football fan, is the greatest players in this franchise's history have a problem with this franchise. I think that's the way it's going to be interpreted today.
I think it'll be interpreted that way until you dive into it. It just makes sense for a guy like J.J. Watt to go on and continue to play football with a winner. Once Deshaun Watson is gone from the Texans, that team is not a playoff team. That team will not be any good at all. And then when you look at it, if I'm J.J. Watt, why do I want to be there anyway? I mean, the guy that gave us hope and opportunity and a chance to compete in the National Football League will be on another team somewhere. So I want to be able to take my skill set and my opportunity while I have a chance to win a championship somewhere else. And the Houston Texans, if you want to dig into it, they screwed everything up, because if Deshaun was still there, then J.J. Watt would still be there, which means that they would have an opportunity to compete.
Back it up some more. If DeAndre Hopkins was there.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it starts with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
They traded his guy. Could you imagine Joe Montana finding out on ESPN somehow that they had traded Jerry Rice? Like, could you anyone, like, you have Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins in their prime?
Well, clearly, Max, though, they screwed that up. We all kind of know. We're revisiting the history of this. We already know that Jack Easterby and Kyle McNair completely screwed everything up with the DeAndre Hopkins trade, along with Bill O'Brien, who was in charge at the time, with not having any conversations with Deshaun Watson to figure out. Here's so interesting. I tell people this all the time. If it was a money thing, you can always go to your quarterback and say, we have to redo you. Will you take a little bit less so we can keep your number one receiver? Clearly, it wasn't just a money thing. It was something deeper.
But look at the dominoes. Look at the dominoes and how they fell. Like, I didn't even include DeAndre Hopkins when I talked about the greatest players, offense and defense, in the franchise's history. It starts with DeAndre Hopkins. Then the next domino to fall, you know, like you go, Andre Johnson says something. Deshaun Watson now wants out. J.J. Watt is not doing the team any favors when he's tweeting out to his fans directly, I want you to hear it from me. They released me. These are the best players ever in the franchise. And Key, you can tell me, you have a better eye for this than just about anyone. How much does J.J. Watt have left? You say let him go to a winner. It seems to me like, obviously, he's not what he was when he was one of the greatest players who ever lived. Seems to me like he can still play football.
Yeah, he's still a very valuable piece for somebody at the end spot because he can still rush the passer. He can still defend the run. You know, 2 to 3 years, when you start to get up in age, at some point, yes, he's had some injuries over the last couple years, but there are teams out there, and I haven't – this obviously news just broke, so I haven't had a chance to really look through the rosters. I'm just – in the mindset, I'm thinking about teams that are competitive. Like, if you take him – what if you took him and you put him with the Washington football team's defense? What would that defense look like? Or all of a sudden the Rams decided that they want to make a run at him. Or Tampa Bay. Or New Orleans. Or Kansas City. Or maybe Buffalo. So it's some teams out there that are in the mix for the 2021 playoff run into the 2022 Super Bowl season that J.J. Watt certainly will be targeted.
We see the history of the NFL. That's the one sport where just because you got a name brand, it doesn't really mean anything. Like, we see name brands at the end of their careers go from team to team. But when you get a name brand who still has something in the tank, that can make all the difference. Look at playoff Lenny. Leonard Fournette, right? Like, he was available for who wanted him. But it's not just that he was a name brand. He still had gas in the tank. Well, it seems to me J.J. still got gas in the tank.
He does. You can point to a lot of dudes. If you think about Clay Matthews Jr., he wound up going from Green Bay to the Rams because he had just enough gas left in the tank. You think about Tlaib went from Denver to the Rams. Just enough gas left in the tank. And I think J.J., he's not on empty. He might be on a quarter to a half a tank, which is enough to get to a team and help them, plus his veteran leadership.
Mm-hmm. Let me just ask you this really quickly, Max, unless you need to chime something else in here. Since entering the league in 2011, he has the second most sacks in the league, 101, only to Von Miller. But, Key, why we have you quickly before we move on here, where would you like to see Deshaun Watson go?
You know, I'd like to see him at San Francisco, maybe. The 49ers, mm-hmm. good defense, solid run game, young receivers. If the Jets somehow can pull off a massive trade, I wouldn't mind seeing him there, although I think Sam Darnold is very capable of being the quarterback there. I know they're not going to trade him to Indianapolis. That's not going to happen. You know, the Washington football team could be a pretty sexy destination for him. No. Am I missing anybody?
No, I mean, well, right. I have an off-the-beaten-path suggestion that I thought that I brought up, you know, a month ago or more. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bears.
I'll tell you why. I don't want no parts of that. If I'm Deshaun, I want no parts of that.
But I'll tell you why. And I hear, and I understand, from the Bears' point of view, they have a chance to redo the mistake they made with Trubisky and get it right. They can take Deshaun now, right, if they could work it out. From Deshaun's point of view, Chicago is such a football-thirsty town. So they haven't won anything since the 85 team, right? The greatest team ever. In 1985 is the last time. And in my whole lifetime, Key, they've never had a great quarterback. So I'm just saying this. There may be better situations for the quarterback where he has more weapons. But if you win in Chicago, you're a different kind of icon.
Yeah.
They're so thirsty.
Nope. I'll take my chances in San Francisco if I'm Deshaun.
Yeah, and by the way, and another one is Miami. I don't know if you mentioned Miami, but they are already very good. If you add Deshaun Watson to that mix, it's a problem.
All right, let's leave it there. I want to talk about two other quarterbacks who just played in the big game, fellas. So NFL.com ranked the top quarterbacks for the entire 2020 season, including the playoffs. So MVP Aaron Rodgers took the top spot, followed by Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady, Super Bowl runner-up Patrick Mahomes. Looking back at the regular season and playoffs, I want to be clear here. Not just the playoffs. We're talking regular and postseason here, Max. Did Mahomes actually have a better overall season than Tom Brady?
Yeah, he had the best overall season in the league when you look at it. Absolutely. He was not far behind Rodgers. The fact is his team's record was 14-1 when he played. And the one loss was to a divisional rival built to beat them in Oakland in a high-scoring game. And then he got him back in the rematch. He sat the last game of the season. Then he plays throughout the playoffs. By the way, winds up with turf toe, right? It's going to need surgery. And in the Super Bowl, the reason we don't perceive it that way is because he lost to the GOAT, Tom Brady. But let's really look at what happened in that game. Patrick Mahomes was pressured on 29 of 56 dropbacks. I think that's a Super Bowl record. 29 of 56 dropbacks. Tom Brady was pressured on 4 out of 30. I mean, they kept it clean. And I know people are talking about, well, they sped up his mechanics early, and he had some happy feet. Because, let me tell you something. What do you think would have happened if Brady was under? Oh, he would have gotten the ball out earlier. They were getting pressure on almost every down with four guys because he was missing both his offensive tackles and another offensive lineman. Both his offensive tackles are Pro Bowl caliber. So, like, everyone's like, Todd Bowles is a genius, and Todd Bowles is excellent. But he kept everything in front of them. Well, of course you're going to not blitz, send extra guys when you don't need to. What it meant was he was always on the run, and everyone was always covered. Nevertheless, I know he didn't throw a touchdown pass. He hit two receivers in the end zone in the face with the football. He hit another receiver in the end zone in the hands with the football. And by the way, Tyreek Hill went through his hands to hit him in the face. And by the way, all those plays, how many quarterbacks, whoever lived, could have even gotten the throw off, let alone that throw? He was on the run. Dudes were coming to kill him. One of the throws, he's parallel to the ground with Shaq Barrett on him. No one else could have made that throw, let alone delivered the ball accurately. And I'm not even bringing up Travis Kelce's drop on third down for 16 yards. It's not that Patrick Mahomes, that there's no such thing as a better play that plays in the plays he made in that game. But he was the most spectacular player, I think, in the game. He just, events conspired to make him look, or to make the stats look bad.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, Patrick Mahomes certainly had a better season than Tom Brady. But in the end, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got the best of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes' offensive line was horrible in that game. And going into the game, Shaq Barrett and JPP and Todd Bowles and that defense knew, all we got to do is rush four. We can drop everybody else. We can rally, tackle. We can apply pressure from our front four, and we can get out of here with a W. And that's what they did. In the regular season, we saw what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went up against in the Kansas City Chiefs and what they did to that secondary and Tyreek Hill. The game plan changed. The offensive line was bad. The defensive line for the Bucs were great. The secondary was great. They got the best of them. It's not even really a conversation to even argue if Brady is better than Mahomes. It just, he got the best of him. Brady did what Brady was supposed to do. Let the defense win the game in the Super Bowl. I'll do what I need to do. I won't screw it up. And that's it. And Tom Brady wins the MVP because he played to a degree flawless. They didn't ask him to do too much. He did what he was supposed to do. And you go back and you look at the quarterbacks in the Super Bowls. Throwing for 400 or 500 yards, that's not how you win a Super Bowl. You win a Super Bowl because you play sound defense, your quarterback doesn't screw it up, and you run the ball effective. And that is what Tampa Bay did.
And Tom Brady is great on third down. And this is actually a question I have for you, Key. This is a question I have for you. If Tom Brady was actually the better quarterback in that game, that's because he's doing little things that escape my eye compared to the stuff, the spectacular, oh my God, did you see that plays, kind of play from Mahomes. What did Tom Brady do? Like, was Mahomes really kind of happy with his feet too early? Did they speed up his mechanics? Did he make lots of little mistakes? And was Tom Brady, you said flawless, was the story of the offense that he read the defense so quickly and got the ball out so fast? Because it seemed like, pressured on 4 out of 30 dropbacks, he had all the time in the world.
Well, pre-snap read, right? He understands what's getting ready to happen to him before the defense. And when he realizes, based on their recognition that I can get the ball out quick. Whether it was a screen, whether it was delivering the football down the field, whether it was throwing it to AB, he saw it before it happened because he's not asked to do a lot. He's only given a handful of plays that he can execute. The defense is what carried them. Tom Brady won the game and he got the MVP, but the defense in the playoffs is what carried the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where, yes, they sped up Patrick Mahomes' delivery by rushing him, by getting in his head, by realizing, making him realize, I don't have much time to get rid of the football. I got to get rid of the football. When it's a jailbreak, all of a sudden he drives back, he hits the back foot, then he now has to run another 15 yards just to retrace. It took him almost 500 yards in that game to deliver footballs. He ran around 500 yards.
With turf toe
to deliver the football. That's unheard of. That's incredible and unheard of. Plus, Tom Brady historically is one of the guys in the National Football League who gets rid of the football the fastest. I believe he's in the top five of delivering the football the fastest.
I have a question not only for you, Key, but for you, Molly, okay? Because no one's trying to hear. If Stephen A. were here, he'd say, no one's trying to hear this from you, right, Mr. Cliff? But here's the question.
Well, you did say that.
If you swap.
You did say that.
I own it, you know?
Okay,
If you swap quarterbacks in that game, do the Bucs still win, and do they win by even more? See what I mean? Swap quarterbacks, same teams, but Brady's on Kansas City, who can't deal with the pressure at this point in his career.
Think about the pressure. It's a wrap, though.
It's a wrap, yeah, right? Is it more of a blowout?
You put any quarterback in Kansas City in that situation.
But what I'm saying
is the Bucs are going to win.
Swap quarterbacks. Is it the same game? Is it more of a blowout, or is it less of a blowout?
I think it's probably about, you know, the points could change a little bit. Maybe Tampa gets a little more points. But they certainly, Kansas City's not going to win the game with the offensive line like that. It's just not going to happen in a lack of running game against that defense. It's just not going to happen.
By the way, Molly, yeah. I don't want to make it sound like I'm hating
Patrick
on Brady.
Patrick Mahomes was terrible on third down, and obviously a lot of that had to do with the line, but I think he was like 4 of 12 on third down. He couldn't make anything happen.
He made everything happen. He needed a lot of help in that game, and he didn't get it. As I said,
I just referred to third down.
So let's take third down.
Just third down.
One of those plays when they were pinned back, he hit the best pass-catching tight end in the game, a dude who's heading for the Hall of Fame, in his hands for 16 yards. He dropped it. Mahomes can't block for himself, run around, throw the ball, and catch the ball. He can't do everything. All he can do is play quarterback.
Yeah, that's one play.
He did that overall this season, including the Super Bowl, when you add it all up, better than anyone.
I think 32 teams, to end this, Molly, I think 32 teams would take Patrick Mahomes. I don't think 32 teams would take Tom Brady right now in his career.
Well, clearly they wouldn't, because back in March, there were only two teams who would take Tom Brady, and that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Chargers. So he only had two options. 30 teams
Molly,
chose to pass. But we
Molly,
can't underrate the experience of Tom Brady.
Molly,
wait, hold on. Let me just say one
Giants
thing. We can't underrate his experience and how cerebral the guy is in terms of the game of football. That has to count for something. I understand Patrick Mahomes is way more athletic, talented, all of that. But just how the game slows down for anybody being such a veteran. What were you saying, Max?
I would say, well, number one, I'd say you have to forgive our Giants for it because we have Daniel Jones. So obviously, why would we want Tom Brady?
But still got diapers on.
All right, man. Yeah, you know, so do a lot of second-year quarterbacks. They got better.
Patrick Mahomes.
But I would say this.
Too.
I would say what you're referring to, Molly, about Tom Brady is exactly right. That's why he's on the level he's on at the age of 43, where we're sitting down, and I'm probably, and Key's probably in the minority, saying, yeah, Mahomes had a better overall season. The majority of people will probably tell you Tom Brady, and it's for all the things you say. What I'm saying is all those things that Tom Brady has gets him to a certain level. And if you put him behind a line that has all day, receivers everywhere you look,
he's gonna carve you up, a running back and a defense,
and you put him against a quarterback, no matter who it is, Superman. Mahomes is Superman.
He's going to carve you up.
With no offensive line, of course they're going to win.
I mean, that's just the bottom line is Tom Brady, everything that he brings to the table outside of the football field is important. The locker room, how to prepare, all of those things are extremely important. I'm just talking about the skill set right now at his age versus Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
Patrick Mahomes had a much better season. He really did.
No question. I was just saying that's the one area where I feel like Tom obviously has the advantage.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Meanwhile, Urban Meyer's newest hire, Chris Doyle, is making waves for all the wrong reasons. Doyle, a former strength coach at the University of Iowa, was accused of making racist remarks, belittling and bullying players. Over the last year, numerous former Ohio players spoke out about the mistreatment within the Iowa program. A number of black players said that Doyle used racist language and treated them differently based on their race. Here's Urban defending the hire.
I vet everyone on our staff, and like I said, the relationship goes back close to 20 years, and a lot of hard questions asked, a lot of vetting involved, and with all our staff. But we did a very good job vetting that one. I met with our staff about it, and I'm going to be very transparent with all the players, like I am with everything, and listen closely and learn, and also there's going to have to be some trust in their head coach that we're going to give them the very best of the best. And time will tell. You know, the allegations that took place, I will share, I vetted them. I've known the person for close to 20 years. And I can assure them there will be nothing of any sort in the Jaguar facility.
A lot to unpack here. Max, we'll start with you. What's your reaction to this hiring?
Molly, would you mind if once again I threw it to Key? Because I am curious about someone who African-American player who played in the league for a number of years.
I would have wanted to start with Keyshawn as well. I was just starting with you because obviously it's, you know, your show here. And especially, Keyshawn, you've been around college football at the highest level and every level of football and have worked with young kids as well. What's your reaction to this?
You know, I was excited for the Jaguars when they hired Urban Meyer. I thought that, you know, I thought it was an opportunity for him to get his feet wet in the pros and really do an amazing job. Now, I'm like, all that energy that I had for him in Jacksonville is gone, right? And when you look at it, it's tone deaf as far as I'm concerned with Urban Meyer right now. Given our climate and the things that we've gone through over the last 4 years here in our country, let's just say that. And then you go out there and you hire somebody, yeah, you've known him for 20-plus years, and you've vetted him. Yes, all of those things are true. You can say that. But yet and still, the allegations at Iowa was disturbing. They gave him $1.1 million to leave for a reason. And as over 50 players came to the university athletic department and told their story, out of 50 players, everybody can't be lying. Now you, in your first opportunity, your first job in the National Football League, you want to start by hiring a guy that had racial issues at the school that he was at as a head strength and conditioning coach over a 20-year span. at the University of Iowa. And Urban Meyer made the decision to bring him in to the organization in Jacksonville and believe that he's going to be a value to some of the players that are coming into those locker rooms, that when free agency hits, that you could explain to those players that, oh, no, he's okay, we vetted it. You can explain that to players? I doubt it. Now, everybody is going to say, well, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's changed. The dude just was fired 9 months ago. So you're going to make that big of a change and that big of a swoop in nine months on your views. The way I've always seen it, maybe he didn't use the N-word. As he said, he's never done that. He doesn't condone those sort of things. This came out of Chris Doyle's mouth. He doesn't condone that. Got it. Maybe you didn't use that. But you certainly have said some things that made people uncomfortable. Having been in that locker room and been in other locker rooms, Molly and Max, I can assure you, players are going to be looking at him sideways when they walk into that facility, whenever that takes place. I don't care what anybody says, because in the end, he's only as good as his word. And his word was bad at Iowa. Mm-hmm. So when you have veteran guys, the moment that you say something.
Grown men
with, as I like to say, full beards, some of them. Grown men with baby car seats in the back. It's different in college. Mm-hmm. When you have a 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old guy trying to get to where these 27, 28-year-old men are at, they're going to kind of let things slide until they get to that point for fear of getting kicked out of school, for fear of being benched, for fear of the scholarship and education being taken away from them. In the National Football League, that doesn't work because they got millions of dollars in their bank accounts. And so in the end, he's going to have to answer to some of those individuals when they have that team meeting.
Yep.
And they're going to be asking him questions. And the moment that he says something slightly or give them a certain look or a certain tone is going to be problematic for Urban Meyer in that organization.
I want to read the
ESPN. And of all the years to have this kind of hire. Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, right, Molly. That's right. I thought that was a very good point.
Yeah.
I want to read the ESPN reporting about this. Over the past year, numerous former Iowa players spoke about mistreatment within the Iowa program. Numerous players. A number of black players said that Doyle used racist language and treated them differently based on their race. A number of. I'm assuming that number is not one or two.
I believe that number is 50.
Right. It's a lot. It's a high number. So what are the odds that everyone is out of their mind and making it up or misinterpreting things? It's pretty low, it seems to me. Now, do I believe that is disqualifying? I actually don't. I don't think in American life, people who have made mistakes should be permanently disqualified from employment in their chosen profession. However, before you can say, well, okay, fine, they're ready, I think there has to be some accountability. You know, and it's not enough for the head coach to say, I vetted him and the players are going to have to trust what I say. He's used to a college atmosphere.
Yes.
And let's be honest about what happens on a college level in basketball and football at the highest levels. It is coaches making millions of dollars and the players, and by the way, TV networks and schools making millions of dollars on these programs, and the players are unpaid. And not only are they unpaid, but it wasn't that long ago that guys could get in trouble because they ate a bagel, but there was cream cheese on the bagel. And does that get literally? What's that about? Why are the rules of amateurism so strictly enforced? Is that about keeping it pure? And well, partly because we're selling the product back to you, the fan, right? And partly it's because of control. You want to control an unpaid labor force. And the reason the racial issue is so important here is predominantly what is that unpaid labor force in college and then in the NFL? What, when we talk along racial lines, who is the owner of the team always, almost always the AD, usually the head coach and on the one hand, and then who are the players on the other? So when an issue comes up like this, and the coach talks about transparency, but in fact, the vetting process, well, tell us about the vetting process. What was that? It's not transparent, just saying, trust my players have to trust me. I'll take care of the vetting process. That, as Key said, in college, because they are controlled, because they do hope to one day make a living in this profession. It's easier to get away with that. In the pros, when you're dealing with the best in the world, and they've proven that, and they have millions of dollars, much harder to get away with that nonsense.
You know, when you look at it on the surface, he's a strength and conditioning coach. They gave him a fancy title or whatever the case may be. In college, head coach is a pecking order. Head coach, strength and conditioning guy. Those are the two most powerful individuals within that football department. Players interact with the strength and conditioning coach several times a week. I mean, like several. Sometimes they even camp out in the strength and conditioning gym just chilling, hanging around. So the communication is open there. Where in the pros, he won't have an opportunity to communicate with the NFL guys as much, but he will have to communicate with them in OTAs, in training camp, in mini camps throughout the course of the season. So it's very, very important. And people will get a read on him immediately. And on top of that, you have to think that was there not another strength coach out there that could do the job without all the baggage, without all the issues? And Urban Meyer has been through some of this sort of stuff before. Think about Zach Smith and what went on at Ohio State as his recruiting coordinator and wide receiver coach. He ignored that until it blew up in his face.
Is this over for Urban Meyer before it begins, given everything you just said? They're going to have Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have, you know, a real quarterback, one would think. But is this too much for this team to overcome already, Key?
Well, he's won everywhere he's been when he's had stuff, right? And so winning sometimes make things disappear. But I can guarantee you, and I'll say it again, the moment that something comes up is going to be problematic. Mm-hmm. Where guys in the NFL, as we've seen, they will stop on you. We're in college football, some things come up, they got to keep playing because they get to the money. Guys will start to quit on Urban Meyer if he doesn't address the issue head on, if there's an issue that comes up.
Yeah. I think just in this year and this being his first stop at the NFL level, what you said, your visceral reaction initially there, Key, it just feels tone deaf. I think that's the perfect way to put it.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Let's take a look at how the Nets have fared since the Harden trade and the new Big Three was formed. 7-6 before, 8-6 after. Numbers eerily similar, fellas. They're scoring more, but also giving up 9 more points per game on defense. NBA champion Kendrick Perkins with us now. Perk, top of the morning to you. Max, you're up first here, though. This team's favored to win the East. Which Net, which player is under the most pressure?
The answer is Kevin Durant, and he's also under the most pressure in the NBA, period, this year. Kevin Durant has been an MVP-caliber player for, at this point, most of his career. He's one of the best ever. He has a package of talent and skills and size where he should really be in the conversation for best ever. But he's not in that conversation yet. And the reason is he couldn't get by the Warriors when he was in OKC, and he had a stacked team. And by the way, they had a Game 7 at Oracle. I was there, and he and Russ did not get it done in that game. And that same Warriors team then lost to LeBron James's Cavs in 7 games. And by the way, I was there for that one, too. And, you know, the difference was LeBron and them got it done in crunch time. KD and them didn't. So KD and the Warriors look at each other and go, this dude LeBron, when he's crewed up, he's too much for either one of us. Let's get together. Once they did that, they formed a team that no one ever was going to beat. They had a 73-win team, and they added a prime Kevin Durant. So what does that prove by winning a championship with that? Durant did not prove the thing that champions normally prove doing that. Well, he balled out in the finals. Yeah, no kidding, because he ain't the only thing you got to worry about. You got to worry about Steph and Klay, the two best shooters ever. Steph also an MVP candidate. You got Draymond Green on that team. Of course, there's too much to worry about. KD is going to kill you. Well, he didn't prove he was the best player in the world or even that he could lead a team to a championship. And then he did something that took a lot of guts, I thought. He said, okay, watch this, off an Achilles. The only reason he had the Achilles is he insisted on playing in the finals when he probably shouldn't have. He showed a lot of heart and then a lot of guts. He said, I'm going to go to Brooklyn, USA, New York City, the media capital of the whole wide world, where they're thirstier than anyone in the league for a chip. New York hasn't won a chip in the NBA since 73. Nothing since Dr. J in the ABA, right? I'm going to go there. I'm not joining a 73-win team. I'm joining an also-ran kind of team. And I'm going to do what LeBron did in Miami. I'm going to form something here. And he did. And now the Nets, the eyes of the world are on them, and their fortunes will be tied more than any other player to Kevin Durant. And Kendrick Perkins, KD has a chance to prove greatness on this team that he did not have a chance to prove in Golden State. So he is facing the most pressure in the NBA right now, not just on the Nets.
Well, Max, first of all, let me address you like the numbers on the house, because you said that OKC team was stacked. And they wasn't stacked. He had Russell Westbrook with them, but don't look at their roster and say that they were stacked, because they weren't. Second of all, how do you change every week? And when I say that, you was the main one saying just 2 months ago that, hey, you know what, Brooklyn Nets, they don't have to win the championship, because almost always, a guy never comes back off of Achilles tear, and now you saying the guy who tore his Achilles and is his first season back playing that since the injury, and then you saying, now you're sitting up here saying that the most pressure is on him? No. Yeah. As a Net, that. Right? Last time I checked, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both are sleeping well at night. You know why? Because they have championships, okay? So they could retire from the game today, and they're perfectly okay. What they're doing now is just trying to add a scoop of ice cream on the side. The Net that has the most pressure is James Harden. No other superstar has been catered to like James Harden. Take him back to the Rocket days, for example. Okay, hey. First couple seasons, he get Dwight Howard. Things didn't work out. Blame Dwight Howard. Get Dwight Howard out of there. Next couple seasons, get Chris Paul. Things ain't work out with Chris Paul. Blame Chris Paul. Get Chris Paul out of there. Now, get Russell Westbrook, another MVP. For last year, things ain't work out with Russell Westbrook. Guess what? Now it's time for me to leave. Russell Westbrook is gone. James Harden is still there at the moment. All of a sudden, he throws a hissy fit and says, I want to go to the Nets. I want to go team up with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Hissy fitted his way out and got what he wanted. Now he's with the Brooklyn Nets and is one of the only superstars that has accomplished everything that he needs individually. MVPs, scoring titles, led the league in assists, 50-point triple-doubles, etc. Now you have the perfect layout. Now you don't have no one else to blame. You don't have no more excuses not to deliver a championship, so the pressure is on James Harden, not Kevin Durant, not Kyrie Irving. Those two guys got rings already. James Harden is searching for his first title.
A couple of things. Harden got pressure too, no doubt about it. But I've never said anything different other than KD has pressure. The question is not, does KD have pressure to win the most pressure to win a championship this season? The question is, which player, which Net in this case, is facing the most pressure, and that's KD. It's KD's team. KD put it together. KD's the best player on the team, including Harden, including Kyrie. KD is the one with a chance to go down at the uppermost echelon of greats who ever played the game. He should be in the Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Magic, Bird conversation. And yet, usually if he is, his name comes last. And that's because he has not shown that he can have a team that he leads to a championship. He joined a Warriors team, a champion already, a team that was impossible to beat once he joined them. That's why he's facing the most pressure. And when you say that Thunder squad wasn't loaded, Perk, are you forgetting? Most basketball people, by the time the finals rolled around, when people were looking at Cleveland and Golden State, but it was like, uh-oh, here come the Thunder. They were the hottest team. You know, getting off the bus, they were the biggest athletes. Not just KD and Westbrook in their primes together. Who'd they have on that team? Steven Adams, Serge Ibaka? They had size. They had defense. They had MVP caliber players. And they got to a game 7 against the Warriors, but KD and Westbrook didn't come through. So don't tell me that KD came through against Cleveland. They were overmatched. Now's the time when there are questions. It's not sure that they're going to get out of the East. They need to work on the defense. He's got to lead a group of guys who are coming together for the first time. This is a whole new set of problems for him and a whole new opportunity to prove greatness in a way he's never proven before. And the eyes of the basketball world are on him.
Max, how can you say that KD have something to prove? Do you think it wasn't pressure when he decided to go to Golden State and he delivered in great fashion, going up, in my eyes, against one of the greatest of all times, LeBron James in the finals, and won that matchup and won finals MVP in back-to-back years? That's pressure. He went to a situation where he had to deliver and had to win, and he did just that. But back to the original statement.
If you put any MVP on that team, they can't lose. They won 73 games the year before.
Nets at Warriors tomorrow, 8:30 on ABC.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.